Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I was trying to remember my first contact with Mike, and I don't remember. It seems like that maybe Derek put us in contact with each other. But we talked, I believe, for a while before we ever met over the phone. We talked for a while over the phone before we ever met in Tulsa. But the first time we met was at Pastor Dave's at a conference, and that's probably been maybe 10 years ago. And I was so impressed in the spirit when I was able to sit down and talk to him, or stand there in the conference and talk to him, and just to find out some about his story and how that, and we probably had already conversed about some of the challenges that he had faced in his life concerning the cancer, and at least that one particular time, and I've shared some of his testimony before, but at that particular time, he had just come out of, or I don't know maybe how long it had been, but the impressive part to me was the effort in the spirit that he had the tenacity to do what I had been hearing Dave talk about for years, that if you'll do this, it will work. It will produce. And so he went in when he got the diagnosis basically of death, and he began to do and to spend the hours, and basically I guess he just separated himself. I remember him telling, I was standing there with another, I think Matt went with me on that trip, and Matt was standing there, we were listening, and I was asking him questions and stuff, but I guess the beautiful part about his whole testimony at that particular time was he was talking about, you know, the hours that he was spending, and he wasn't trying to impress us, and we all of us at that time understood the message, and the more hours you spend, the more, so, but he was in a desperate situation, and at that time he was spending 6, 8, 10 hours a day walking the floor, praying in tongues, and calling himself healed and stuff, but the one part I do remember is that he's, and I remember among other, is that he said there was a pivotal point where it switched. It just absolutely switched, where it went past confession, it went past faith into an absolute reality. Now, since then, and that was a major healing in his life, and he'll maybe share as the Holy Spirit leads him. There's been other sentences of death, and he's got past those, and some ways in different ways, but all of it is a working miracle. And the other miracle is with him tonight, and that's his wife. Because I know this, and all of you that are married know this, or have been married, you know this, that if you're one flesh, whatever one of you are going through, it may not be in your body, but it's affecting you just as much as it is them. Yeah. If you're walking in a place where you really love your spouse, if they're going through something emotional, you're going through something emotional. If they're going through something physical, you're going through something physical. So we've got a woman of miracle-working faith here with us tonight. And so, praise God, we appreciate both of them. And I'll just let him come and do whatever the Holy Spirit says for a little bit here. So let's give him a great big hand. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brock. Pastor, my friend, Pastor and Candy, for allowing us to come. This is my wife, Donna. We have been together, next month is 40 years. We've been, married for 39. And I say to her sometimes, I don't know how she ever put up with me. But then I figure, well, it could have been all that bad. Anyways, I do have a testimony that I will share tonight. I wasn't sure about what to share concerning tonight. It seemed like God has done so many amazing things in my life that it's always the thing of, okay, let's pick. Lord, what do you want to do tonight? 2 weekends ago, I was sharing, teaching at a church, a friend of mine's, And it was on the Sunday night. We had preached in the morning and all was well. And on the Sunday night, in walked a guy that was totally demonically possessed. He had been a drug addict since small. He was 23 years old only. And it reminded me a bit of me because I did drugs from 1965 to 1975. And I know what it's like to be demonically infected to the point where you have strength way beyond what you know. You have wisdom, even though it's perverted way beyond you know and so on. But anyway, he came in and the Lord said, I want you to change your message and start talking about your testimony. And so I did. I changed the message and the Christians understood, because this is our main purpose as Christians, to bring other people into the family of God. And so as I did, I began to minister to him, really, because he was sitting in this side in the second row and he was really shuffling and moving his arm around and shaking and all the rest of it. Then he'd go to the back and he'd walk around. Then he'd go on this side. But I kept hammering my testimony, because that's how I came to Christ, as a drug addict. And in any case, when I gave the altar call, I prayed a little differently this time. But he accepted Christ into his heart. And that night, we were sitting on the front seat. He was in his sound and right mind.
Praise God.
The point I'm making, though, is I went into that Sunday night service with no inclination at all to speak or to share about testimony. So I think we have to be instant in and out of season and also ready to go at whatever the Lord tells us to go at. Tonight, I would like to just say thank you to Pastor Bronk and Candy. And you have introduced to my wife, and my wife says, so that's okay. We have three children. They're grown. The children have spouses, of course, but they're all born again. They're all walking with the Lord. We have two daughters. One is a nurse. One is a pastor. Both of their husbands are ordained ministers. And one of them are effectively now, one of my daughter and son-in-law are now effectively pastoring, and the other son-in-law is helping out. I have a son who is primarily in business. God has given him administration abilities, which we need within the body of Christ to a degree that it's just, we need them, period. We need them, and so on and so forth. But we have eight grandkids. See, she didn't want to say anything a few minutes ago. But as soon as you mentioned grandkids, that's the word, the operating word. I won't keep you very long, but I do want to share this. I believe this is what the Lord has given me. Over a period of 12 years, I had three diseases, I guess you would call it. One was a cancer the first time. And the Lord showed me how to deal with that the first time. 6 years later, I had another cancer, and he showed me another way of how to deal with it. We have got to go to our Daddy God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? We are faith people and all the rest of it. A few years later, I had hepatitis C because of all the things that had gone on, and all the drugs and everything else and operation things and chemo and radiation and all this stuff was in my blood. I had fourth stage hepatitis C. My first cancer, though, I'd like to go back to that. It was like I was in the pastorate at that time, pastoring for a number of years, and in ministry a long time, though, up till then, and I was always preaching about faith, always preaching and teaching on healing. Then one day it hit me, and I won't go into all the details and what happened, but it hit me. And so the first thing that I had to do as a faith man was go settle my mind down, because I didn't have the kind of faith that I thought that I did have. I seemed to be able to believe for other people and wonder, well, okay, if you're sick, just get into the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and just roll it over and over and over and over and over. It's true. We need to build up our faith because at some point, because we serve a God that the enemy hates, and because the enemy is author of sickness, and you are his enemy as well, he's going to come at you with something, either you or a loved one. So we need to be ready. You know, I watched Pastor Bronk work out. He didn't get to where he is within a week. It took a long time to get to where he could lift them weights. And I was thinking, man, that is really good, because I was watching him for a while. I got little 8-pound weights at home. I mean, I've only got that many because of the sickness and so on. But I try to walk and I try to move, because that's right now, up till now, was the only thing that I could do. But in any case, that cancer hit me, and I was prepared to a degree. But I had to make a decision as to what to do from then on. The doctor gave me the report. It was a very, very bad report. Operate or die. In any case, long story short, we jumped in the vehicle. We headed down to a place called Rhema, down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And during that time that we were down there, I was at 29 meetings, I think, within 1 week. And I was receiving faith teachings. Dad Hagen was alive at that particular time, and he had a lot of success within the situation or the type of cancer that I had, which was a tumor cancer. So we were down there for a week or 10 days, and we headed back, and I knew the healing had started. This was in January, or maybe 1st of February by now, in 2003. Went back. When I came back, I knew what I had to do. I went into my third bedroom at home, which was my office. We had lived in Quebec at the particular time. My wife was perfectly capable of running the church, and I had great staff at the particular time. And so I was able to do this. And so for 1 year, I was able to go in there from 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day. I just got focused on what God's word said about the sickness. I still to this day can't tell you a whole lot about cancer, but I can tell you a whole lot about how to get healed. And that's the answer. By his stripes you're healed, period, end of sentence. So I'm in this room, and I'm in there from at least a couple of months. I have the dates marked down somewhere. And in them couple of months, I believe it was a Friday, one of the ministers called me from Rhema, and I had been confessing the word. I'll tell you some of the word that I was confessing. Proverbs 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? For they are life to them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Some Bibles say medicine. And that was a key word for me. I thought, well, the doctors, if you get sick, they give you medicine. But the word is the truth. It's above what the doctors can do. And nothing against doctors. They're out to heal these things. From time to time, we'll get a knock on the door and say, we're collecting money for heart and stroke. Can you help us? They know that sickness and disease is an enemy. They're working on it. So why don't us Christians sometimes, I was saying to myself, get that message? But as I began to confess the word over myself, and believe, and pray in the Spirit, faith began to build. The understanding of the word began to build. Now, this is the first cancer. I'm still talking about that. Another scripture that I had was Psalm 89 and 34. He will not break his covenant, nor will he alter the words that have come out of his lips. You can take them things to the bank. And these things started becoming part of me. And I'll tell you about the word, too, in terms of that. For me, what I have learned. If you take the Logos word, and if you read and study the word to the point where it becomes so big in you, it pushes the cancer out. It has nowhere to go. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, when something supernatural hits the natural, something gives. And I'm really paraphrasing. But the cancer has to give. So I'm still in my room, I'm still praying. Another scripture was Romans 8 and 11. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead also, if he dwells in you, He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. And I know that has a few meanings, but I took it as I am filled with the Spirit of God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I began to see that, hey, this is really, really going to work. My faith was building. Also, Psalms 90, verse 10 says that he'll give us 70 plus 10 if we take care of ourselves. I'm saying, hey, man, I didn't take care of myself. But I am only around 50-ish, 50 years old. So if he gives me 70, that's at least 70. So I got at least almost 20 years left. I said, the word does not lie. That was the word that was given to me amongst other scriptures. So now this minister calls me from Rhema, who I had met down there. And when he started talking to me, it seemed like something was happening supernaturally. And as he began to pray, something did happen. My mind lined up with my heart, my spirit, and bang, I was healed. It was like the liquid gold, the warm honey of healing, flowed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I knew I was healed. But I didn't stop there because I know the enemy comes back. That's where a lot of us Christians miss it. We don't realize that, hey, okay, we just got a victory. Yes. You know, it's like a fighter in a ring. You got the victory, but you better be training for the next fight because the next one is going to be bigger and better. In this case, that's what I did. I took the remaining of that year and just prayed in the Spirit and confessed the word. Anyways, life goes on, and the second cancer came along six years later. It was a more difficult and more deeper cancer. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know me, and I suggest that you listen to this part because this is very important. Lord, you know me. You know how much faith I have. You're my dad. Do I have enough faith to go through this? He said, no. Now, that may be a negative statement to some people, but to me, I had to hear that. So I went for the operation. The operation was a success. And then after that, I had to take some radiation. The radiation was very barbaric. I had to take 20 shots for almost a half an hour. I'd walk into a radiation room. They would lay me down on a bed. They would pin me, my shoulders to the bed, but it was like a slab, a table. They would also take a mask and put it on my face and screw it to the table. And then they would leave. Everybody would leave, and they would close this big, thick door, lead door, so no radiation could escape. And I'd be in there, and I couldn't move. Couldn't move for up to half an hour. And I hear all these motors and stuff running the machines, the radiation machines, because two technicians would hook you up to make sure that you were in the right place, and they watched you through this little window to make sure you didn't move. Initially, I said, well, what happens if I have to sneeze? They said, well, we start over again. The radiation is so barbaric that we should never, ever have to get to that point. I believe the body of Christ is coming to a place where as we walk and as we talk to people, the anointing will break that yoke. Cancers will leave. Yes. If we do enough with the word, if we build ourselves up enough with the word, it's going to be like the living word walking with us or inside of us. There'll be no room. There will not be any room. I said to the doctor, is cancer an epidemic? She says, oh, no. Well, I don't know why she said that, because it has been an epidemic, especially where we were. We have lost more people. For 3 years, on an average of every 3 months, one of our friends or one of our family members has died with cancer. It's just been incredible. Anyways, that was my second cancer. Also, that time I took 1.5 years in my room, praying in the Spirit, confessing the word. It's a good thing that I have a wife like Donna who understood, because 1.5 years, I didn't want to do anything. I'd come out the odd time to go to church or to get some air. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't in there totally constantly. I'd come down to eat or maybe go out just to, like I said, get some air or whatever. But a year and a half for 8, 10, 12 hours a day in my room, praying in the Spirit, building myself up in my most holy faith, allowing the Spirit of truth to run the mind of Christ through me, because I knew that that was the only hope. The world didn't have anything to offer me. There was times I thought, you know, I don't know if this is worth it. This is my second time around. It was very difficult, lost a lot of weight, was very weak with this one. The first one, there was many fears. The second one, there wasn't so many fears, but I was weak. So anyways, the radiation came along, healed, and for the next 4 years, I went back to the doctor. You had asked me if I ever went back lately. I don't go back lately because I know. After the 4 years, it was so clean and so healed that I just, no way. But then, not too long after that, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C, fourth stage, meaning that my liver could not regenerate itself. They again said that your life expectancy here is very low, very limited, and you have to do what we tell you to do. And there was this particular set of drugs with chemo that I had to take and self-administer. They wanted me to do it for 48 months. After about 4 months maybe, we were taking that stuff, 24 pills a day. This time I became very confused. First one was fear, the second one was very weak. This time I was confused. I was so confused, I took myself off driving my car. I've been driving for many decades. And I took myself off that because I didn't want any trouble. I knew I was confused. Red lights didn't seem like red lights. I got to a point where after taking it for a while, I couldn't drink anything. I couldn't eat anything. I ended up going to the hospital the first time. They, I don't know if you agree with this, they had to give me a blood transfusion. All my key counts were low. They were wondering why I was still living. They couldn't put anything in the veins initially. And so, we survived 8 days in the hospital. I left. I wanted to go home. I wanted to get out of there and all the rest of it. And they allowed me to go home. 3 or 4 days later, I became very, very ill. Started throwing up all over the place. Et cetera, et cetera. I called the ambulance again. The ambulance came. They took me in. After a few days, 3 or 4 days, the doctor who was administrating all of this stuff came into my room, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and he was alone. There was no entourage of nurses or anything like that. I didn't have any visitors. I was alone. And when he came in, he kind of came in with hat in hand. He came down with his head down a bit. And he said, Mr. O'Brien, I'm very mad at myself. And I thought, well, why are you mad at yourself? And he said, well, because what I've been giving you has been killing you. And when he said that, something hit. I said, that's it. I'm a son of God. There was a faith that welled up in me that I don't think I ever had before, and I haven't had since, but a faith welled up in me. I said, that's it. After I said a few more things to him, but I said, I will never be sick again. Not that night, but the next day I jumped out of bed, dropped all the pills, and called for a ride, and we went home. Never taken any more of that medication. The doctors argued with me. They wanted me on more stuff. But I'm going to tell you, my liver today is above average. I had a miraculous healing. With the cancers, you see, there was a process. There are 9 gifts recorded in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 3 you know, 3 you do, 3 you say. The 3 you know is the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of discerning of spirits. The three you do is the gift of faith, the gift of working of miracles, and the gift of gifts of healings. The healings is a process. The miracles like a sign and wonders instantaneously. The other three is prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. The three you say. But that night, that was it. That faith rose up in me. And it wasn't like working through the process of healings with the cancer. This was a miraculous healing. Amazing. And so going forward with all that stuff, a month or so ago, my GP, he was actually freaking out a bit because he didn't understand what I was doing. But he knew that I was beginning to put on weight and look better and all the rest of it. So he runs some tests, blood tests and so on, and they come back better than average, higher than normal. So a couple weeks later, we run some more because just to make sure to him, you know, that, hey, this is right. I already knew I was healed, but I like him. He's a good guy. He's a GP. They come back again. We looked at him. They're better than normal. This was only a few weeks ago because it was 14 months ago that I walked out of the hospital, said I'll never be sick again. I will never be sick again. If I die, it won't be because of sickness. If something happens, God forbid, and I'm not putting anything on myself here, but if something happened that I ever got sick, I would get well first and then die. I will not give the enemy anything in terms of sickness. When it comes to sickness, many people may not understand that, but I will never be sick again. And the line was drawn, and I'm over that line. If someone comes along and says, you're going to be sick, I'll say, well, no. There's no chance of that. But anyways, a lot of other things happened along the way. I just want to say something about praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Not a bad deal. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Do you know what mysteries are? Mysteries are the hidden truths that have been in God since before the world began, but now are being made manifest to his saints. As we pray in the Spirit, he's downloading mysteries. Through them years, he was downloading mysteries and the mystery of who I am, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. He did not put the sickness on me, but he began teaching me that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I have right standing. I have the ability to stand in the presence of an almighty God without any sense of shame, guilt, or fear. There's nothing in them areas that I'm afraid of. He's not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. All that fear is gone. I don't care. We've done the great exchange. For fear, he's given me faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he who comes to him must first believe that he is, and secondly, that he's your rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Out of them 12 years, by the way, I spent 6 months while I was going through the hepatitis C thing. Out of them 12 years, I was 3 solid years. Not all at once. There was a year, then a year and a half, then 6 months, but I got it. I'm not saying that we all have to go through that amount of time. But I am saying, don't let the enemy come in on you and take you down or take you out. Nobody has to die of a sickness. Now, I know that's a blanket statement because I know that people will. People are dying tonight of cancer. But they don't have to because Jesus Christ bore all of that sin and sickness. It's hard to believe sometimes, but he really has. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Do you need peace in your mind? By his stripes you are healed. Yes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Yes. Past tense. He has already done it. It's done. Doesn't mean that the battles aren't going to be there. So when we pray in the Spirit and take time to pray in the Spirit, we make him happy. And I know there are other keys, But that one there, when you pray in the Spirit, you minister. Yeah, he's ministering the mysteries to you. There are many mysteries. These are the hidden truths, the spiritual truths, which have been hidden in God since before the world began. But now, they're being manifest in us, the saints, his sons and daughters. When I pray in the Spirit now, I pray expecting him to do something, download something. I tell him how much I love him, I worship him. But I also take the word of God concerning some of the mountains that are in my life. And the Lord says that his word is like a hammer. Just keep hammering it. There's a lot to say on it. I won't keep you tonight, but one last thing. Praying in the Spirit is really your only inoculation or vaccination against deception. There is so much deception. So much deception. One night I was invited to a meeting that they were having for leaders within this particular local church. I'm from Toronto. And I didn't want to go because when they called me to invite me, something hit me. And I know it was because my inner witness, the spirit that had been built up to be a superstructure based on not being taken out by any sort of deception. Anyways, I went, but when I went, I sat in the parking lot in my van, and I says, Father, I really don't want to go in there. Well, he went out. He said, I want you to expose something. I went in, and I sat down, and a gentleman got up, and he was slick. He pulled out the passage of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21, which talks about we're new creations, we're ambassadors, we are reconcilers, and we're the righteousness of God. And he taught on that. Man, he sounded so good. I thought, and I'm squirming through the thing, saying, well, what do you want me here for? What's all this about? Then he began to talk about that no matter who you are, no matter if you've lived and you're dead or those who are to come, eventually you will be with Jesus Christ. It's called universalism. He also said that the devil will be redeemed. I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Now I know what I have to expose. Just politely, when he stopped, he preached for 45 minutes. He said, do you have any questions? I said, yes, I do. I said, do you mean to tell me that the devil, first of all, that we can live any way we want, but yet end up in heaven? He says, well, yes, and he had a good answer for that. I says, you also mean to tell me that the devil will be redeemed. Redeemed means to be bought back, pulled out, and set free. Us as people, as humankind, we have a redeemer because we had the tempter. Satan was the tempter. But Satan fell on his own accord, so he doesn't get the redeemer. We do. He has no redeemer. He is done. There's a place for him. You can read about it in Revelations 20 and 10. But our place, if we accept Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's so much that we have. It's amazing. Anyway, I said, according to Galatians chapter 1, and I think it's verse 9 and 10, I'm not sure, or 8, 9 and 10 or something, but I said, you are preaching heresy. And Paul talks about if anyone, even an angel, preaches anything other than the gospel that I have preached, let him be accursed. I said, and sir, he didn't just say it once, he said it twice. And I said, I'm warning you tonight, and I stood up at that time. And I said, sir, you are walking on very, very thin ice. Nothing. The meeting went on. I sat back down for a couple minutes and I left. The point of it is, many things like that have happened. But inside, because I built myself up in my most holy faith, I understood that that was totally, completely wrong. Another one, too, is speaking to an intellect who is a theologian. he had talked to my son, and my son said, gee, you need to speak to my dad. And so when I met up with him, I didn't make a beeline for him, but the next few weeks or so we met, and we had opportunity, and we talked for 2 hours, and he asked me a lot of questions. He said that he was not born again, but he knew the Word of God. And he said, gee, you know, Jesus himself said that there is two perfect, your Bible says that there are two perfect men in the Bible. I said, all right. He says, yeah, over in John chapter 9, he says, when Jesus healed the blind man, the parents of the disciples asked Jesus, who did the sin, him or his parents? Jesus said, no one, neither. The intellect said that Jesus said that not only was he perfect, but the man was because he didn't sin. And so the pat answer for us as Christians, we would say, you need to get born again. But I didn't say that. I said, listen, that man was born into a fallen nature. But Jesus came along and healed him. And when Jesus went to the cross, he made a way for us to come out of the fallen nature, to become a new creation. He says, I'm the only way, John 14 and 6. He says, okay, well, what about when Jesus cast out the demon? He was talking about the sin of blasphemy over on Luke chapter 11, somewhere in there. This guy said, when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, and they said, well, it's by Beelzebub and so on, you know the story. Jesus said, listen, you can say whatever you want about the Son of Man, but don't say anything about the Holy Spirit, because that's blasphemy. So the guy said, he said, well, if Jesus said that, then he couldn't be equal with the Holy Spirit. Because how could you say something to the Spirit of God, but not to Jesus, when Jesus says, I am the I am? I said, listen, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. The 100% God part, you can't blaspheme against. But Jesus was a man. And he said, that part, you say what you want, but do not say anything about the part, because he's connected with the Holy Spirit. These guys are getting stuff out of the Word. And we have to be sharp. We have to be on the ball. We have to know the Word. And not only do we have to know the Word, we have to know the inner witness. He that is led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And there's so much else. We talked about things like the super grace and so on. Be careful. Anyway, I could go on, but I would just close it at that. And I would give you this final thing here. I'm just a little guy, a seriously unknown guy from Toronto, but God is beginning to open doors up for me that no man could open. And it's amazing what he's doing. My daughter, I didn't even write this, so I can't take any credit, but my daughter wrote a little book here, To Hell and Back. In 1971, I did OD. I did go to hell, and I was dead for 10 minutes. And I tell a lot of what hell is like in here, but I don't go into the detail as much as a lot of people, because I didn't think it was that important. I don't want to scare people or appeal to the soul. I'm after getting people born again. In any case, this was done in English. And so because Don and I go way up into Quebec where people don't speak English, I thought, oh boy, what's the sense of bringing English books up here? But there was a few that could speak English, so we were at a meeting up there, and one of the ladies came and said, man, this is a good book. We should have it in French. I said, okay. So she interpreted it, sent it down, we formatted it, and preached it. So now we did it in French. Down in Columbus, Ohio, now I've got the English and French, and ministering down there at one of the meetings. And a lady come up to me, she was Spanish. She said, you know, that's a good book. She said, we should do this in Spanish. I said, okay. So she did it in Spanish. She wrote it. sent it up to us. We reformatted it and did it in Spanish. So now we have three books. The other thing is, too, someone in Poland who has a print shop wants to print these and pass them out all in Poland. I'm saying, Lord, you do whatever you want to do with this book. In the back, there is a gospel message. In Spanish, I can't read that one. It's funny, I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit way up in Quebec, and there was four or five ladies who received, and I had to laugh because I didn't realize if they were speaking in French or in tongues, because they were just speaking a little ways off in here, and I was at the pulpit. So I went down and I listened. I said, yeah, that's tongues. Thank you, Lord. Anyways, many things have happened. God has done a lot of tremendous things in our life. I am totally healed, and I tell you that Jesus is for real. He can heal you. He can heal your loved ones. We, as the body of Christ, are going to come into a place where we are going to be laying our hands on the sick, and they will recover. There's a separation coming, but I'm telling you, stick with the right path. Follow him. Get focused. And do what you can. I know you can't do 8, 10, 12 hours a day, but if you can do 8, 10, 12 minutes a day, God will take that and he'll use it, and he'll bless you with it. And put your eyes on him, and he'll keep you in perfect peace. Thank you for the time tonight. Bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning.
Hallelujah. Man, that was good, wasn't it? It sounds like this guy goes to our church, doesn't it? I can tell you one thing. I can tell you that he prays in tongues, doesn't he? We all say the same things that pray in tongues, don't we? We all believe the same way. So praise God. That was so good. Man, Rocky Balboa. That last Rocky was... He was telling his son, it's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can get hit and get back up and keep going. It's a song, I don't know it, I shouldn't know it, but I've heard it through a Radio Shack window. I'm a survivor, I will. You know it, Kathy, why don't you get up here and sing? No. All right, Sunday we'll get a chance to give into his ministry, so praise God. Well, thank you all for coming. This will be it tonight, and we just bless you. Father, we thank you. Let this word just rest in us. Lord, put us to sleep tonight with the remembrance of this testimony and just the power of what it means to stand in your word and pray the mysteries. And that, Lord, you threw a testimony of one of the flesh and blood people that we've seen, Lord, that say there's a line that you can cross where sickness no longer has any capacity over your body. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.